And so here we are again, worldwide live on the internet through BBS Radio. Thank you, BBS, for making this possible. This is, as usual, a simulcast for the conference call. We have a bunch of online already. There's another people joining, a person joining in. Had a few people joining in here in the last minute, if you have a chance. Name and location.
Dallas.
Hello, Terry. Welcome to the call.
Hi.
Gilbert in Central Florida.
Hello, Gilbert. I welcome you.
Thank you.
Hello.
Hello.
Hello. This is Don in Northern Ohio. Hi, hi, sir, everybody.
Good evening, Mr. Harriman. How are you doing?
Good. How's it going?
Hello, Don.
Good.
Hi, Don. Hi, everybody.
Dharmananda here.
Hey, Dharmananda, I welcome you. How are you?
Little Del.
Yeah, I heard that.
All right.
My favorite.
Yes.
I heard another ding. Welcome to the call. Please say your name and location.
If you want to.
But only if you want to.
I agree.
We welcome you. Good evening. Welcome to the call. Please say your name and location.
Hi, Robert in Glendora, California.
Hello, Robert. Welcome to the call.
Hey, Robert, your line's screechy.
More people joining in. Welcome to the call. Please say your name and location.
This is Wynn.
They're free. Welcome to the call.
Hello, Wynn.
Hi.
And go ahead, Wynn.
No, I'm not going to say anything.
Hey, you know what, Wynn? We do have a first-time caller on the line. She has listened to several replays. This is Wendy from Montreal, Cuba, and she's very glad to be here.
Very glad.
Canada.
Hi, Wynn.
Canada.
All right. Welcome to those people who just got on board. Please say your name and location.
Raiden Knight.
Raiden Knight, welcome back, my friend.
Thank you, my friend.
All right. Well, peace.
This is Marilyn and Flagstaff.
Hello, Marilyn and Flagstaff. Thank you for being
here. Hello, Marilyn.
Thank you.
Hi,
Marilyn.
Hello, Marilyn.
Hi. Hi, everybody.
Hi.
We got two Marilyns tonight, don't we?
Only Marshall from Lake Villa.
Welcome to the call, Marshall.
Hi, Marshall.
Hi, how you doing?
Good. Thanks for being here.
Good evening, everybody. It's Eric from Santa Fe.
Who's this from Santa Fe?
This is Eric.
Hi, Eric.
Hi there. I had a hard time getting on. I don't know why, but here I am.
Yeah, there are more people, and myself as well. I had to use a backup.
Okay.
Likewise.
Must be all the wind tonight.
Yes, it's windy.
It's windy everywhere. You know
good
what
evening,
winds mean? Winds mean there's change coming.
No, wind is only in Sedona.
I heard that joke.
That's
Wendy. There's some new immigrants to this country that work here, and the
hey, you know what? Vin is in Sedona, and Wendy is in Canada.
And they said they moved to Canada, and there's supposed to be four seasons in Canada. They found out there's a fifth. It's called Windy.
Yeah, I hear you.
That's the last 52 weeks, right?
No.
Okay.
Yeah,
depends what time of day it is.
I live in the third windiest city in the United States, Great Falls, Montana.
Wow.
The windiest place is supposed to be at the Wind Belt, where my sister moved to, which is Lethbridge, Alberta. I lived there for 1 year, and it was just the worst year of my life.
Yeah, it can be real quick.
It's the Wind Belt of the it's the Northern Wind Belt.
Mm.
Lethbridge is in and Pincher Creek is in the middle of it.
Somewhere in the U.S. is Mount Washington. I don't know, Vermont or New Hampshire. It's the windiest, highest wind ever recorded, I think.
Yeah, that's just below that. Their point is just below Lethbridge, right? Like when you go down, it's just below Lethbridge.
Wow.
So, in the meantime, my dear friends, I'm just very glad that we have such an awesome, loving energy here on this call. It's in the meantime 6:04, Wynn is here. Terry just dropped out. Live on BBS Radio. Thank you, BBS. Welcome all those people that are joining in online. We can't see you, we can't hear you, but glad to have you participate.
I forgot what I was going to say.
That's okay.
Wait a second. Terry's dropped out, right?
Yes.
That shows that you're just human like the rest of us.
Recording.
Oh, yeah. Thank you. You know what I was going to say? Guys, I forgot to record.
It's April Fool's.
It's
April Fool's.
No, yeah. It's true. He forgot to record the other day. That's why I said it.
Yeah, when he forgot to record the other day, that was my birthday.
All right. Hey, anyway, the good thing is it is recorded on BBS, so.
Well, actually, I did a replay.
Okay.
I think everyone enjoyed it. It was one of the early Don and Wynn shows from 2005. We interviewed Daphne, and in the middle of the show, she broke into a channeling, and it was really a knockout. I don't know. Did you guys like it?
Yeah.
It sounded like you really had pretty much everything figured out even back in 2005.
Hope you do it again.
Some people had it figured out for a long time.
I am always learning. I can't tell you. I don't tell you guys everything I'm learning because sometimes it's too advanced for me.
Yeah.
Or how can I say it? It's like, what have I learned from 2005?
In the meantime, I want to say that I'm using a few lines. I'm sorry I'm doing that because it's your feedback throwing. So apologize.
Terry, are you on?
Terry's not back yet, no.
I hope she's not having trouble getting on. Well,
probably.
Give her the backup number.
I'll tell you, let's mute everybody.
All callers are muted and they can unmute themselves. This conference is being recorded.
And this is April 1st, 2015. And in the last few years, I used to send out something on April 1st, and it was something silly, and people would believe it, like letting you know we heard we're sending in 2 weeks, so prepare yourself. I didn't send anything out today, and I kind of feel a little bit solemn because if you got the announcement, it's not looking good for Carla.
Oh.
So, it's probably healing. Somebody asked about crying today, and I think it's good to cry. And I'm going to probably do that. Beginning part of the show, and we're going to do a prayer for her, and if she does go, we're going to do a tribute call for her, and I hope they're all wrong, and I hope she stays, but I was going to read, I'll tell you what, before I start this.
Hey, John, if I have not win, just don't be jealous at her, you know, because she's going to just the most beautiful place. Be happy for her at the same time, you know. Her job has been done,
her.
You know. She got
I'm not
her.
Worried about her. I'm worried about me. I'm going to miss her.
Okay?
Somebody said we got it all wrong. We should be crying when people come into the room.
Yes. It sounds like tears of joy too at the same time, you know, what you have.
Yeah. But, certain people get to you in your life. And I mean, for all I know, Carl is going to show up on Sunday and talk.
They'll be giving us messages through Carrie. Terry, who knows? Terry?
Terry's here, by the way.
Are you on the line?
Yes. Hi, Terry.
Okay. But,
hear you.
We're certainly doing one of the more crazy things on the planet. Except everyone else is doing the crazy things, and we're not. But that doesn't help if they discover you, because they'll think you're crazy. Okay? yes. Mm-hmm. Well, let's see here. We have, So what's been happening is that Jim McCarty, Carla's husband, has been posting on Carla's blog, you know, for the past week, updates on everything. And of course, probably most of you know this, but for those that don't, Carla is the channel of the raw material. And she did this in 1981 to 1984. And it was one of the most breakthrough channelings on the planet. Many people put it up at the epitome of channeling. And one of the reasons it was so good is because she had a partner, Don Elkins. And Don was a PhD. He was very smart. And if you're not familiar with Ra is a group soul made up of graduates of this realm, hundreds of millions of them, and they act as a support team for everyone who's still stuck here, like us. And Ra has been the Ra group. I'll call them the Ra group because it's not an individual. It's our contention. The Ra group was who was channeling through Edgar Casey. It's my contention that Jesus was connected to the Ra group and may have been one of the Ra group. Akhenaten was connecting with the Ra group. And Carla had the most widest, what's the word? The biggest expansion of them talking about themselves that's ever been on the planet. They just were very forthright. They were dealing with extremely intelligent group, and they could say things that were mind-blowing about how they interfaced with this realm. Not like any way that I've ever been exposed to any channeling source ever in their forthrightness. And Carla laid the foundation for the work we're doing, for the work David Wilcock is doing, and probably the work of many, many people. And probably for 3 or 4 years, Carla's been coming on our Sunday conference calls and has been my co-host. And she really has to check. I don't want to talk too much because I should save this for a tribute call if we do it. I hope we don't do it. Maybe we won't have to do it, but I want to read to you Jim's post, okay, and I'm not going to get through it without some tears, so I'm just going to let myself go into it. I think it's healthy, and it's Carla's journey home. Dear friends and family of Carla, our mutual beloved friend is packing her bags for her next great adventure.
She is teetering in the final moments of our incarnation and may be leaving us any day now. Carla said that she looks back upon our incarnation and feels that she accomplished what she came here to achieve. She looks forward and sees the gateway that is ready. She is ready to cross, anticipating a reunion with loved ones that have already gone over. Most especially, her beloved companion, Don Elkins. It is a time of great love and great sorrow here. Carla is in significant pain. Jim is keeping his head up and continuing to post daily updates of her condition at the Camelot Journal. An outpouring of love has already begun. Messages are arriving through email, Facebook, and a thread has been initiated in Bringforth. All messages are being relayed to Jim. He reads them aloud, though Carla is mostly asleep and unconscious. Thank you all for your love and your prayers. It's a difficult transition for Carla and difficult for all who love her. The bell of faith rings with her spirit, and through its sound, we know all is well. And on that note, I just want us all to join our spirits and make our group energy. And at this moment, let's focus in Anchorage, Kentucky, in Carla's bedroom, and surround Carla with this energy for healing or for transition or peace, whatever is for the highest good, and hold this space for a moment. And I think I'll read a little bit of Jim McCarty's post here. This morning, This morning, my ears brought me not only Carla's steady sleep breathing, but also parts of a conversation that she was having in her dreams. I couldn't really make out what she said, as her speech in the dream state was kind of garbled. Then we did our morning offering and got her ready for her day. Mona came by this morning, and I filled her in on what had occurred for Carla since we last saw Mona. She agreed that now it is time to make Carla as comfortable as possible. And to that end, we changed the dressing on Carla's wound
while Carla was still in her bed. Mona showed me how we could roll Carla over onto her left side and not only change the dressing, but also change the bedding. We have decided to go every other day for dressing changes. Now, to save Carla the extra pain that comes with them. We have gotten many emails and cards showing great loving support from so many seekers. But I especially want to thank Michelle for her wonderful handmade card, the beautiful quote inside, and the hawk's feather that she sent with it. I have it taped to her wall. Bethany came by today and did Carla's nails in blue, green, yellow, orange, and purple to give a springtime flavor on her hands to match the colors of our tulips, daffodils, and hyacinths that are coming up outside in great profusion. And Jim apparently read her an excerpt from a book called The Prophet by Khalil Gibran. And the priests and priestesses said unto him, let not the waves of the sea separate us now, and the years you have spent in our midst become a memory. You have walked among us a spirit, and your shadow has been a light upon our faces. Much have we loved you, but speechless was our love, and with veils has it been veiled. Yet now it cries aloud to you, and would stand revealed before you, and ever has it been that love knows not its own depths until the hour of separation. Today, Carla stopped eating. She said she just wasn't hungry. She is still drinking water and Diet Pepsi. She only took a couple pain pills at the beginning of the day and a couple at the end because she said the pain wasn't that bad. She also didn't want to do all the protocol because when I wash certain areas of her body, her back pain kicks in. So there were mixed signals on the pain front. Carla sleeps a lot during the afternoon and evenings, and I hold her hand. Tonight, I began to talk to her while she was sleeping. I told her how much I loved her, how much I would miss her, how much she has taught me about being able to open my heart and love. And a lot of things just came rolling out of me. Then she opened her eyes, and I continued talking about the same things. And as it turned out, we had a good exchange of love, pledges, special memories, and funny stories. We had shared all of these thoughts before, but not with such intensity and emotion. It was tremendously therapeutic, although I still choke up with tears when I think of her passing on and me being alone. As a spiritual seeker for many years, I know that we have been together many times before, and we will be together again because we are of the same clan, our spiritual family. But my third density worldly personality needs constant reassurance that all of this is true. I said the prayer at the Gaia meditation tonight. Okay. We love you, Carla. That's me. And let's move on. Tonight's the call where we ask questions that people submit, and
Win, that's all the listeners. We love you, Carla.
Yeah.
Okay. And Wendy, I got your question, okay? And you caught us on an unusual Wednesday. And if you're listening to the Spirit Channel, and you go back probably, you think, a month back, Carla is on every one of our Sunday calls. Is that right, Hayes? You think a month?
That's right, yes.
Yeah, so you can hear Carla and I interacting, and she has been a beautiful, loving support for us.
And then we have the Law of One Made Simple sessions. I mean, there's fantastic material that you have available, Erwin.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'll talk about that some other day, okay? But let's go through our questions for tonight, okay? And Jerry, are you there, and are you unmuted?
Yes.
You want to say anything before we start?
Well, you know, for a couple of weeks now, I felt like ambivalent about this. Like, a couple weeks ago, I started taking up, like, that Vaughn is waiting for her, and, like, it's, like, a joyous thing for them to see each other and to be together again, and it's like old home week. And before, when she was ill, I sent her, all of us here sent her a card every day, and we sent a couple things to her, but I was ambivalent because I sensed that she wanted to go and connect with Dawn, and I didn't want to place a conflict on her. But I sensed Dawn around with her very, very strongly, and how happy she was about that.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I wanted to say.
Thank you. Okay. Father, Mother, God, we ask for the presence of the light to surround and protect each person here. Any negativity be taken to the highest realms of light and transmuted for the highest good of all concerned. We see ourselves in the flow of energy radiating from the center of the universe through the galaxies, through the Milky Way, through the solar system, through the outer energy field of planet Earth, through our bodies, into the center of the Earth. And right now, we invoke a group energy connection while maintaining the sovereign integrity of our souls. And we invite those sources that are positive, service to others, honoring the Law of One, to join with us, and we create a protected space that only the positive has access to. And anything not of that nature must leave now. And do we have our sources present?
Yes. We greet you in the love light of the one infinite creator. This is Ra'an. And we are surrounding and protecting Carla, and we sense the sweetness of her essence, and the sweetness of her relationships, and it is in crossing over that she can obtain her full self back without the pain, and it is a joyous occasion of reunion for her to be, and it is a sadness for the one she is leaving. And we take a moment of tribute to the work that she has done and the work that she has left behind with the Law of One series of Saturday workshops that she has left and the books that she has channeled and given a great lift to society for those who are ready. We take a moment and we refocus and are with each and every one of you who wish to be connected with. Do you have questions?
Yes. This is a question from Lise, who lives in Rimrock, Arizona, okay? And I feel that I've been having problems healing, partly due to outside influences, such as bad energies being sent my way from people and also from agreement vows I made in this and other lives, such as the bodhisattva vow to keep coming back to this level of existence until everyone is enlightened. I do protective shields, but possibly these negative energies mixed with old vows are interfering with the shields I am doing. And let me just, she has more here, but can our sources comment on that for the police?
There are influences that have gotten past your shields, and you have stated very clearly what is happening and how the protective shields help, but yet there have been birth frequency factors that have gotten past your shields that now need healing. You are very observant.
Thank you. As a general question, could you comment on the bodhisattva veil? And for those of you who aren't familiar with that terminology, it's someone that has vowed to keep coming back into this realm until everyone is saved, so to speak, in this realm. Being that our realm is the way it is that something that you would recommend for someone to do? And of course, if someone has done that, made that veil, should they review it and consider it in another way? Thank you. That's my question.
When you have come into the third density with a desire to help, there are a couple things that happen or can happen. One is that you desire to experience and find your way through things that other people have experienced and need to find their way through so that you may help them. It is not wrong to come back and to attempt to help. Remember individuals have free will choice and may not pick up the clues or be able to be helped at any one time. So it may be discouraging in your attempt to help them. As regards your own difficulties, when you find your way through these difficulties, then you will be able to help others to see their way through similar difficulties. We suggest you look at being an example of help and abundance in that other people can also follow that. However, when one has help and wealth, so to speak, it is easy to forget that others need help. And it is easy to forget to be humble. So in your path and travels, that is something to remember as you yourself follow the path to getting well and experiencing abundance. You are setting a trail. As a trail leader, others can follow.
Thank you. And then she goes on to say, I desire to end all past agreements and vows and move on to other ways in a healthy, strong body with plenty of resources and no distractions from what I believe I am truly meant to do in this life, which could help many more people in a more immediate fashion. And it's been on hold, I'm trying to clear bad energies from this plane until all are enlightened to move on to a different dimensions. What else do I need to do to end all these agreements and vows and also to protect myself from those who have bad intentions and want to stop me from my true purpose?
Thank you. Be aware and watch for situations that will help you step out of the box you have been in and will then help you set an example for others. We love you.
Thank you. Next question. Just a moment. It's from Rick. And he's asking a question about his wife. You know, Rick, it's very important to get your wife to agree that you can ask a question about her, because I might convert your question to a generalized question, and maybe the answer will surface in it. But, and maybe she did agree, but you have to tell me that, because you know, it's very private to ask a question about someone else that didn't agree. And it can violate their free will, even though you might think it would be helpful. So I'll ask your question, and then I'm going to convert it to a generalized question. My wife told me that she can't cry because of heart medication she's been taking. So instead, she just gets depressed about whatever the issue she has to cry about. It's my belief the whole act of emotional and physical crying, tears, is very important for a person's well-being, and just like laughing. Would you comment on crying, and if there's anything to help my wife with this? Thank you. So I'll leave it up to them if they make any comments to your wife, but I'll let the question stand. Would you comment on crying? Thank you.
We, as Lynn has said, would prefer her to ask the question, as it might come out as a different question if she were to ask, does she want to cry? What are the issues holding her health in place, her health issues in place? We send in part love, we see beyond what we are seeing, but as she has not asked, as it is you, Rick, that have asked, we would prefer questions about your participation in working with her, which answer, if you ask, might help. Thank you.
Thank you. And could you make a comment just on the benefits of crying? Is it something that everyone should be tapped into, or is it something that some people, by not being tapped into it, causes disturbances in their being because they can't release their grief? Could you comment on those kinds of things?
When one can release their grief and can cry, it helps them emotionally move through a situation. When one holds it back, then various chakras in the body become stuck, so to speak. The expression chakra, one might want to cry, but doesn't feel they can for some reason. And then that is a push-pull. It is a problem. It is one way as opposed to another way. You can stick the person in a situation without an easy way to move through the situation.
Thank you. Next question. And this is from Wendy, who's on the line in Montreal, Canada. Hi, Wendy. I found you because of your George Norrie interview, and your voice resonated deeply with me. I've been looking for you, Terry, and your sources all my life. I've been listening to your archive calls for a few months, all of 2014 and then some. Tonight, I will sit in live for the first time if my phone operates.
Wendy, if you want to come into the calls regularly, highly recommend you get Skype. You can tune in for free, especially if you're in Canada. Maybe you have a cheap or free rate between Canada and the United States, so it's not relevant. But there are phones that do have free rates, so we hope you'll come back and you're not paying a lot of money. Okay, continuing. There have been quite a few questions in the past about astral traveling. But to me, the most important question of all is yet to be answered. With a given understanding that there can be dangers, my question is this. Is there any benefit to astral traveling? Thank you, Wendy, Montreal, Canada.
Thank you. We take a look at a cross-section of people, and we see that for some people, there is not a benefit to astral traveling, as they are not prepared. They might get into trouble. It might disorient them. They might be confused. And for them, there is not a benefit to that. For someone that is more advanced in the ability to leave and to go back to their body, there are advantages of being able to remote view, to see potential dangers, such as a train wreck ahead, or one can not only astral travel in space, but in time, and can take a look at potential problems that can be an early warning system. One can move with freedom and within themselves need to be pure of heart, that they do not get into untoward influences, that their frequency and their tuning ability be practiced and be fine-tuned to keep them out of negative frequencies for them. It can, in some cases, prepare an individual for the time that they cross over so that they are able to exercise their ability to survive and travel without the use of the body, which takes a different sort of traveling. It is a traveling by intention, not a traveling by walking the body on the earth. It is a zinging across a distance to where one intends to go. With an open heart, one can experience change, and if they are pure and tuned and know how to keep out of negativity, they can fly, they can experience remote viewing, they can actually go visit and bring back experiences that are beneficial.
Thank you. And then I asked a question, and then I have to tell you, the way you're phrasing your questions would be more like for a psychic than for our sources. They don't really, I mean, they are psychic at a lower level, but when it talks about predicting the future and what's going to happen and is this going to work out, it's like they don't do it. And the reason is there's too many variables, and you're one of the variables. You're creating outcomes, and so is everyone else in their consciousness. So it's not our work to make predictions that are specific. But I'll read your question, and then I'm going to, if you don't mind, I'll reword your question so it asks them, you know, that it might help you get an answer from the angle that our sources would normally accept the question. So I have a question regarding my divorce, which has been a rather long, draining process. I know that I needed to go through some of my own learning processes, but will the divorce be concluded at the trial dates, or will there be a negotiation sooner, and will I win custody of my three children? And I'm going to ask the question now. I'm going to convert all of that to say, is there anything, if our sources will accept my conversion, is there anything I can do to make the best positive outcome for a difficult situation in my divorce?
Thank you. That is a better question, because in your first questions, you are asking for an outcome before the details have been drawn out, and you are an active participant. So as you go through each phase, take very careful attention to what you are going to say that may or may not affect outcomes, because we see that you have the power within yourself to have a positive outcome, but it is up to you. For example, you ask about custody. So in the way you portray yourself, the words you use, the arguments you make, the confidence you have, the giving off of the radiance so that you are able and you are caring and loving, and you are able to make a very good home for the children. In how you portray yourself will lie the outcome of what happens. Thank you.
Thank you. And I'm not going to read the complete thing here, but she refers to struggling emotionally, psychologically for over a year and a half with this sociopath of a husband and father. And I want to know if the end is near. Okay, it seems to me that she's making a huge judgment on her husband, it seems to me. And it's like what you're saying may be true in a certain way, but what I have learned is when you polarize with someone who's doing something negative, when you polarize with them and judge them, you actually make them more negative. And the art of spiritual connection is to be able to work around another person's negativity without judging them. And so I'm going to ask the question, is that when you judge someone in this kind of difficult situation, now I'm going to make this a general question, when you, would it not have a contributing factor to a more negative outcome, potentially? Or could it?
Thank you. It is correct. How you portray yourself in regard to that aspect is very important. If you come across as a blaming wife, as a judgmental, totally negative against your husband, it can go against you, because if they do not believe he could be that way, say, then it may make you look like you are being you're telling the total way it is. And if you can focus on a few real-life behavioral instances, not as a judgment against them, but behavioral instances of his behavior, and just state stuff like that as a fact, then it could portray you in a whole different light than if you were just judgmental against him totally.
Thank you. I know there's someone I know in my life now that was really liking a woman, and then he went with another woman to do some work with her, and he told the first woman about it. He was very honest, and she said it was okay, and then she said she wanted to play the field, and he said it's okay. And this may not be the best ultimate way to find love in your life, but they're negotiating all of these really tricky things, and I don't get any judgment or resentment from either party. And so, you know, if he was being sneaky and the other person was being sneaky, and they're both holding on to what they have and then going out with other people and betraying things, it ends up really bad. And then people don't end up talking to each other again. And these are tricky waters to navigate. And, of course, there's no way to say you should do this and you should do that. The one thing is, Not judging somebody that perhaps is doing abusive behavior, it doesn't mean you have to be a victim of their behavior. You have to figure out how to work around their behavior so you're not a victim of it. In other words, if they are yelling at you and suddenly they make you feel really bad and you contract in yourself, you're being a victim of their behavior. One technique is to just mock up in your imagination someone doing to you their abuse, if abuse is the right word here, and imagine yourself, hear them screaming and hear them doing what they do, and imagine yourself being neutral. Like, have a little garden in your mind with a little brook, and just go to your garden and then ask them, or walk out of the room, or shut the door, or drive off. You can do all these things out of free will. Tell them, you know, I know you want to communicate with me. I'll come back later. And if you communicate without yelling, we can do it. You can do things like that. But don't judge them. That's not judging them. That's keeping yourself protected from their behavior, if you can follow that. Well, we're going to bring tonight's call to an end. We have another question.
We have a comment. And
okay.
That is that this last situation was not a menace question. And for the two people or the one person whose question it is, we ask you to take a good look at what you want out of a relationship and find out what the other people want out of a relationship and then decide if that is something that you are willing or able or would like to give to them, because it is the ultimate benefit and payback that the individual is going to get that will determine if you stay together with one or the other. The service things that you have mentioned are not as important as what is the reason the two of you came together in the first place. Is the reason that you came together with her the same as the reason she came together with you? And are you willing to provide that for her? Thank you.
Thank you. And I thank you for saying that. And I'm not going to have the last word here. So I'll let you guys have the last word and say goodbye to everybody. And we'll continue on Sunday.
We are with Carla, and we are with each of you who wish us to be with you. We are with the Earth family also. Thank you.
Thank you. And Joanna Brown L., please don't be discouraged. Ask your question again. And Rich Buckley, ask your question again. And
Wendy, keep on asking questions.
And Wendy, keep on asking questions. You know, one of the things that, and then I keep asking questions, one of the things they said a long time ago, which is really interesting, is when you ask a question, they have to energetically tune into your energy to look at the answer. And when they do that, then they withdraw and leave you, they leave a track. So over time, you get more sensitive to the energy of these sources and feel the connection on a deeper level. That's one of the great advantages of asking a question. So some of you out there that have never asked a question, please do. It's like, even if it sounds dumb to you, you notice that what I do is I take questions and I try to rewrite them so that it fits the context of what might bring a helpful answer. So take advantage of this. If we're really doing this, this is like a really rare opportunity. Get over your self-consciousness and your fear and thinking you'll sound dumb and ask a question and let it go if you want to. Okay, only if you want to, as Heiss would say. And on that, the people that have asked questions have made really, really great advances, I think. And so that's just the answer to the question. So on that note, we're going to unmute everybody. Here we go.
All callers are unmuted.
Thank you, everyone.
Thank you.
Thank you, Wynn.
Good night.
Terry.
Thank you,
Carla.
Carla.
Blessings,
Jenny.
Carla.
Carla, we love you. Carla.
Mm-hmm. Carla.
Carla.
Love.
Love to all.